The Hawaii Island real estate market, like so many other things there, has been disrupted by the Kilauea eruption that has destroyed hundreds of homes. Displaced homeowners are besieging an already crowded real estate market, even as they pay closer attention to geologists' maps of the volcano's rift zones. HPR Hawaii Island reporter Sherry Bracken has been talking with realtors in the Puna District, and she joins us now by phone. Hi, Sherry.
Good morning. Aloha, Chris.
This is the traditional supply-demand relationship. The balance has been knocked out of whack, hasn't it?
Well, I spoke with realtor Mary Bajir yesterday, and she's actually been selling homes for about 34 years. And she said before this, we already had a housing shortage, which was really obvious, but this lava flow has just made it worse. So, yes, the supply-demand model is in full swing. Prices are going up, she said. Sales are happening far faster. She said in some cases, homes are on the market for literally hours before they get a good offer, oftentimes full price, and sometimes more than full price.
That's amazing. Is part of that insurance payments have been paid off?
Well, that's when I had spoken with Kehau Costa, who's with the Hawaii Island Board of Realtors in Hilo a couple weeks ago. That's what she said they were seeing, that people were getting their insurance payments and actively looking, because obviously they cannot go back to the homes they lost in the lava. So, yes, that's having an effect. And as Mary said, though, we already had a housing shortage, so there's more demand. But Mary did say, as you mentioned, people are far more cognizant now of where they are looking to purchase a home, and most people do not want to have a home in lava zones 1 and 2. And it's interesting, a lot of folks may not realize, if you look at a map, and you can find this map quite easily on the Hawaiian Volcano Observatory website, if you look at the map, there are lava zones 1 and 2 in both East Hawaii, the Kilauea Rift Zone, mm-hmm. but also in West Hawaii with Mauna Loa. Although Mauna Loa hasn't erupted for many years, it could. So Mary Bajir said that some people just don't want 1 and 2. Sometimes they're even shying away from 3, and they want, like, Lava Zone 8, which is right across the Singing Bridge in Hilo, the Hamakua Coast.
Which is where, according to that metric, there's very little to no chance, right?
Absolutely. That's Mauna Kea, and Mauna Kea and Kohala Mountain aren't likely to erupt anytime soon, if at all. Mauna Kea is not a dormant volcano, but it hasn't erupted for hundreds of thousands of years. So people are far more confident. And most importantly, the Hawaiian Volcano Observatory scientists are very confident. And that's who I look to for a source of expertise.
Makes sense. By contrast, Sherry, the East Rift Zone, where so much of the trouble has occurred, could be seen on 1950s maps of the area, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, there'll be a story running tomorrow on Hawaii Public Radio. I talked with Jim Koahikawa, who's a Hawaiian Volcano Observatory geophysicist. He's worked at HVO for about 40 years, and I questioned him about the lava zones, how they came up with them, and he said that in the 50s, he's found a map that reflected the lava zones pretty much as they stand now. He said in the early 1970s, they had perfected carbon dating techniques way better, so they could absolutely confirm how old different lava flows were. But he said the current map is not very much different, if at all, from the 1955 version. So none of this is new news. None of this is a surprise.
And yet, much of the comment in the aftermath of what's been happening due to the eruption has been, couldn't the people in the area have known? And pretty much they could have and did know for the most part, correct?
Well, my guess is that, I'm positive the developers knew, because, in fact, I've referred to this book so many times in recent candidate forums, the book Land and Power in Hawaii, mm-hmm. Chapter 8, is all about how developments got approved by the state, by the county, back in those days, just years after the last eruptions in 1955 in Leilani Estates and 1960 in Kapoho. Whether the purchasers really realized the implications, I doubt it. Or maybe they did. And I say that because one of the things that Mary Bajir told me, I had heard anecdotally that some people are actually making agreements to purchase lots in Leilani Estates right now, Mary said she has heard the same thing. There have been no sales actually recorded, because that's what she looks for. But she's heard the same thing, that some folks are buying the land or making agreements to buy the land, thinking that at some future time they'll have gotten this land for very cheap. They may be able to develop, to build new homes, and make a lot of money.
It sounds as if, you know, home purchases, and I remember thinking way back, going back to Royal Gardens in the 80s, that home purchases in the volcano area depended in some part on a kind of magical thinking, it won't happen to me, or lightning won't strike in the same place twice. Do you see evidence of things like that?
Well, pretty clearly, people figured it just probably wouldn't happen, and people need to realize that scientifically, 1955, when the last eruption occurred in Leilani Estates, in geologic time is like 20 seconds. It's the blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I definitely appreciate the Hawaiian Volcano Observatory scientists being so diligent about this. By the way, one of the areas that is in Lava Zone 3 is Hawaiian Paradise Park. And Mary told me that on May 3rd, after the lava started, some of the builders working in there pulled back because they feared there'd be a huge downturn in the market. But, of course, now they're seeing that there's big demand, so they are back building. And Hawaiian Paradise Park is a perfect example of an area. It's in Lava Zone 3. It's got 8,000 one-acre parcels. And Mary said only 30% are built out. So there is land for people to build, and there are homes for sale in that area.
Even though Lava Zone 3 is still carries with it some risk.
Well, actually, Chris, every place on the Big Island, just about, except for maybe Kohala, carries some risk.
Yeah, I suppose.
But yes, Lava Zone 3 would be a little more risky than Lava Zone 4. All of Hualalai volcano area is considered Lava Zone 4, so that would carry a little less risk. That's on the Kona side of the island. But, you know, it's risky wherever you live. If you live on the mainland, you could be looking at earthquakes and tornadoes and all that, but... Yeah, Lava Zone 3, I think, is better than Lava Zone 1 or 2. I personally would not look for a home in Lava Zone 1 or 2 just because scientifically, geologically, it is more likely to get overrun again with lava. That's the point of the Lava Zone maps, understanding that.
Do the realtors that you've spoken to, do they tell you that people are getting more specific about what zone is this in? You know, what zone is this parcel in? Are they more cognizant of the risks than they were, say, before all this happened?
Oh, absolutely. Mary Bajir said on the east side, people are very cognizant of the lava zones, and they look at the maps. Now, I also spoke with Gretchen Osgood, who's a longtime realtor on the west side of the island, Hawaiian Isles Realty, and the properties she deals with are mostly properties under $1 million, properties that normal working folks here on the island would live in, and she did not mention that was an issue, and probably because people feel like they're not at as much risk. That said, you do have to look at Mauna Loa, which has erupted not that long ago into South Kona.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the Hawaiian Volcano Observatory scientists about two or three years ago raised the threat level of Mauna Loa because there were more seismic tremors, more background activity. They've just lowered that risk for Mauna Loa. They see less likelihood it will erupt. But nevertheless, people do need to be aware of past history.
Well, they're certainly more aware than they used to be, Sherry. That's one thing for sure, yeah?
All you have to do is watch TV any night or listen to any of these news broadcasts. Fortunately, we are not the number one story on the national news anymore, and I'm definitely grateful for that.
Well, it's a pretty good story anyway, Sherry. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Chris. Aloha.
Bye-bye. Sherry Bracken is HPR's Hawaii Island reporter.